I greet you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, and I'm so excited to be here again, to see many faces today, and I was looking forward for that. I can remember many of you here, and I really thank God for those who came to Uganda some time back, and those who are planning to come this time. In fact, that's why I'm here. I came in the men's conference somewhere. Men's event somewhere in Springfield, Illinois. But after that, I said I have to go and I have to go to my second home because my first time to America, this was the first place I came. Kane Warbridge, my brother of another mother. So he brought me here in this church, and ever since that time, I can't even tell how God led his people and planned to connect his people for the work of the kingdom. There's so much which has been achieved in the kingdom of God in Uganda in that small, simple connection that was started years back in 1999. And ever since that time, the scripture came true, being true to me, which says that never despise the days of small beginnings. So it started small and small and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I really thank God. And I believe that this team coming, you guys will not be disappointed, because we have been waiting for a long time. And we've been praying and praying and praying for the team to come back. And maybe some of the people would be disappointed for her not to come back, because everybody was working on that restroom, raising funds for the for the building of the restroom, which was a problem the previous trip that was made to Uganda. But I bring greetings from Sarah, my wife and my partner and my friend. And I know the girls, Agnes, Olivia, Deborah, Vicky, and Angela. We thank God just yesterday, God added somebody on our family, a new member. He's now one day old. When I called home, they said, he's already here. I've been praying for him, laying hands on the womb, but now someone is already one day in existence. I think by the name of Jesse, Deborah, our third daughter, she gave birth yesterday, and it's really wonderful. I can't wait to go back and see the face of the fourth grandson. And God gave me daughters. I mean, all daughters, but now He's giving me all grandsons. So. He's a good God. I'm so happy to hear about Zoe getting 21st today, because that's when I got saved, and when I was 21 years of old, that's when I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe that is the right time to know Jesus, because I was a very dangerous man, young man during that time. And that's when Jesus really visited me and changed my life. So that is the right time to know God and walk with Him. So let us take a ride with Christ. And I was happy to meet the team coming to Uganda. And I took a picture and sent it to them, sent a picture to Uganda. And everybody is praying for that team now. And not only that, the organizing committee is working hard to make sure that everything will go well. They sit twice a week and to make sure that everything will really go well. And we can't wait to have you there. And they don't mind, you shall find us at the airport. We just welcome you in the country. And I know for sure that this is a divine appointment. It's a divine visitation of God. And I believe that apart from what God is doing there, this team is going to bring a big impact. When I had Pastor Jim yesterday and today morning in Dallas Church teaching, I realized that we are going to get something we actually need. We have a big revival in Uganda, but you know, always revival comes with a lot. Pastor Jim said that I'm one of the 24 elders to 45,000 churches in the country. We are leaders of that fellowship, but there is a lot good going on and bad. So when we get people like you guys come for our rescue, I just raise up both of my hands and thank God, and I know that things are going to work out for better. Thank you so much. This time I came with one of the first champions, Dennis, by the name of Dennis. But unfortunately, Ken Warbridge, he had to take him to where he's. But I'm so happy. When we came here, he came in this church. I told him, well, you have to go and see where all things began. I don't know where, maybe you don't know this, from this church, some people like Dennis and many others, they have already started to see their future with the help that always came from this church. So he was very excited when we came in this church and toured the building around, and he took pictures though you are missing him today, but he's a guy, maybe sometime you'll see him back, because he's now among the people who are teaching the men. And usually people like him, he comes annually to the men's conference here in Dallas or Fort Worth somewhere by Ed Cole. So I'm so happy to see that the champion came to come and see and meet you and actually see where God is doing an incredible work to us in Uganda. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you so much for what you are doing in our time. And thank you, Lord, for connections and friendships and partnerships, Father. We thank you for what you are doing in the church, that the world you will never stand against to stop. We thank you, Lord, for Emmanuel Church, and we thank you for the brother in this country and in many other countries around the world. I know for sure that, Lord, you are doing those certain rages, but you are doing an incredible work in the world than ever before. Thank you for saving souls, and thank you, Lord, to keep us under the shadow of thy might hand, under the name of Jesus, where the Bible says that your name is our hiding place. The righteous, they always run unto that name and they are safe. Father, we thank you. And now as I bring a brief message, Lord, I pray that you bless us as we hear the message in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I was very, very, very happy when I entered here and Brother Craig and my brother were leading praising and worship, and I could sense the presence of God here already. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And one of the wonderful, wonderful things the believer can do is to praise and worship God. And I was very, very happy to come in the presence of our God today. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about, how to host or to accommodate the presence of God, because we are not just entering in his presence, but we have to be always in his presence. What a wonderful thing to know and to enjoy in this life, because when you're with God, when you're in the presence of God, when you are sure, when you know for sure that you are with God and God is with you. For example, the team coming to Uganda, if you know for sure that God is leading the way, God is going with us and he's with us, you confidently stand boldly to speak and witness about his goodness and his word. So the presence of God is very vital If you don't mind, we can open our Bibles, and we are going to read from the book, from Luke. From Luke chapter 10, we are going to begin to read this story beginning from verse 38, which talks about Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary. And here we go. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was combined about much serving, and came to him, and he said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she helps me." You'll forgive me. I left my glasses. I forgot my glasses, so that's why I was late. Oh. There is always an alternative.
Reading glasses.
Pastor Jim always says that there is always an alternative. Okay, this is great. I think I look better. But verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The scriptures we have just read talks about this great opportunity. Martha and Mary, they received on the agenda of the program of Jesus Christ, included this time of visiting their home. I mean, come to their home, which I believe that it was a real blessing, because I know that each day Jesus spent in this world, it was planned, and it was not a wastage of time. There was no any time wasted in his time here on the world. But among his days and plans, this plan was included of visiting this family. And the Bible says that he entered in their house, which is very, very, very wonderful. You know, when God is in your house, amen, when the presence of God is not just in the church, and you can even have God and the presence of God in your home, I think that is the most wonderful thing. The matter of fact, I believe that the presence must begin from home and then to church. We don't come to the church to enter in his presence, but we come with the presence of God in the church. And that's why we give testimonies of what he's doing, or he has been doing in our midst, beginning from our families and the communities and everywhere we have been ever since Jesus came and lived in this world and died and rose from the dead. Any believer is given that opportunity to have or to walk in the presence of God everywhere he goes. And I believe it's one of the privileges that God can really give some people. But when he entered in this house, actually you can see two of them, each one of them decided what to do. Each one of them, like Martha, she decided to entertain the visitor. by trying to put things in order, to serve and go here and there. But Mary, she decided to sit under the feet of Jesus Christ to hear the message of life, to hear from him, and to listen to this wonderful divine visitation. That's what we are expecting in Uganda. We are very expectant for the team coming, and we know that God is going to speak to us in a different way. We are visited by God, and we can't afford to miss that divine visitation. That is what we are telling the pastors everywhere where this team is going to visit, that the pastors, they have to set up at this day to be prepared for the divine visitation of God, for the message, for what God wants to tell our country and speaks to the church in our time. So Mary decided to sit and listen. But Martha was busy. And I tell you what, the one who was busy is the one who complained and thought that she was doing an incredible thing, because she was trying to put things in order and running up and down. And in the story we have just read, the Bible said that she came even to Jesus, the visitor, and said, "Jesus, you don't care. You see me, I'm busy. I'm running up and down, trying to do this and that. And my sister Mary is just sitting there. Bid her to come and help me. Let her come and help me. Because she's just sitting there. She's doing nothing. I'm busy and I'm doing this and that." But I thank God for Jesus, because the way he responded is the way we need to understand and to learn to accommodate the presence of the divine visitation of God always in our midst. Jesus says that, "Martha, Martha, you are taken by so many chaos. You are taken by many chaos of this world. But your sister, she has decided the right thing, the best thing. And that thing, the world, will never take it away from her." There are things that we can achieve, we can run after, we can try to obtain or to receive, but everything can be taken away in the twinkle of an eye. But thank God, there is one thing that the Bible says, that the world, the heavens and the world will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. And here's Jesus coming in the house, trying to talk to these people, telling them the mysteries of the kingdom, telling them the words that the message that they will never receive anywhere else. But I thank God for Mary. She's a very perfect example for us these days, whereby many things are taking place. We can be distracted in many ways by the rumors of war, by trying to achieve this and that. We can be busy just like Martha, and we think that we are doing the best thing. Running, going there. We have a say, working hard, going nowhere. We have that say in Uganda. So working hard, but when you look behind, you don't see any good results behind. But every day you are running, getting tired, getting exhausted, getting tired. That's what that was the life of Mary. I mean the life of Mary. She had no time for Jesus, though she knew that Jesus was the Savior sent by God. He came to redeem and to preach the good news. But she didn't have time. She loved him. Loving Jesus only may not pay you much, but to hear from him and do what he says is very important. And I'm here to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that in the time we are living, let us be different from Martha. Let us take the example of Mary. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter in Ephesians that we are living in evil days. So that but we have to redeem time, redeeming time, buying time, because I believe if you mean to be busy, we are busy. We are busy in Uganda. We are doing things which can really keep us busy. But I learned one lesson, that in the midst of our busy routine, we have to redeem time for God. We have to redeem time for prayer. We have to redeem time to hear from the Lord, to hear from the guider, to hear from someone who leads our steps. Pray, listen, and obey. Let me say that again. Prayer, listening, and obey. If you want to be successful, if you want to enjoy the ministry, if you want to enjoy what you're doing, prayer, listening, and obey. It doesn't matter to just sit there and listen, and you don't put things into practice. Our God is a practical God. He's God who implements things. He's God who works. And Jesus said that my Father work, and I do also work. I thank God for this church because you have been practical. You have been practical. You have been our good Samaritan, because Uganda is a country like the guy who was rescued by the good Samaritan. The Bible says that he was beaten by the thieves and they robbed him. And they left him half dead. The priest came and levied, and they just passed by. But the good Samaritan came for his rescue. That's what we see this church doing to us in Uganda. Thank you for standing with us. And people, they think that, Joel, I'm getting a big amount of money somewhere in the government to be able to do what we are doing. But I tell you what, it's the good Samaritans that are always coming for our rescue. Not only that, you are taking a step of faith to come to Africa. I was talking to my young champion, Dennis, when we came in this country. I told them that, you see, don't you think that someone to leave this country and come and spend a day or a week or more than a week in Uganda is a deal, big sacrifice? And he said, now I know. Now I understand. Now I understand. But listening and obey. I believe this is the fullness of the time we have been waiting. I always call and write emails and come here and I invite you and I say, we are praying and we are praying about it. We are praying about it. And I thank God because now you listen, you pray and listen and obey. Go into the whole world and make disciples or preach the gospel. That is one of the commission given by our boss, our master. Someone was talking to me some time back, and he said that God promised to be with us. When you sit there, he sits with you there. And when you go, he's going to go with you. Some people, they think that maybe God uses other people. They can't. God is pointing other people to be used somehow, somewhere. But it may be because they are not going anywhere. The Bible says in the book of Acts that when the disciples went everywhere, God, our master, went with him everywhere they went, confirming their words with miracles and signs and wonders. When they went out, they saw God in action. They saw God, the presence of God. When they seated idle and just give food and distribute food to one another every Sunday, everywhere, there was chaos and complaints. But when they did what Jesus said, they saw God in action. They saw how God changed people, healing people, serving people. Pastor Jim was teaching this morning, and I was really shedding tears. And he said that everything happens in the world, the problem is not the people outside, but the church, the people inside the church. And the judgment will begin from the house of God. When God says something, blessed are those who say yes to God. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. For us in Uganda, we take American church as our parent in the gospel. I think I told you the last time I came here that the guy who came and with his wife by the name of Dave from Texas, I don't know which part of Texas, years back in 1962 to preach the gospel that set free many of our parents, many of our brothers in the country. They came from here. They came from America. They came from here. And you came with the light, with the torch in the hand, which took the darkness in our country. And that has never stopped. And you're coming again now. To me, I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. I believe that we are receiving the brothers, not only brothers, but our parent in the gospel. So thank you for being practical and listening to the voice of God. And I know that the angel of the Lord is coming before you, and the anointing of God is going to be with you as we meet different people, the saints of God in Uganda. Uganda is a good country. I can't deny the fact that we have a good country. God blessed us with good weather, blessed us with the fertile land, and God blessed us with so many safaris where someone can go and see different wild animals and gorillas, and we have tall mountains and but the people. Someone was teaching, and I heard that very well. He said that what made America America is not the wealth of the country, but the virtue of the people, the virtue of the people in the country, the character. That is what made America America. The people in Uganda, they need God. We have gone through a lot, and we have tried everything. I believe for sure that if it means doctors, the doctors are there. We have professors. We have learned people. We have we have many others. But now, you know what we need? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Someone who can bring Jesus and tell us Jesus is here. That is the one we are really welcoming mostly in our country. We don't just need a miracle. We have seen miracles every day and then. And we have seen God has done a lot. Even through these hands, I've seen all aspects of miracles being performed. But sometimes I get disappointed. You see someone who was a cripple, and he started walking. After 3-4 years, you find him in the bar, boozing. Never wanted to hear Jesus. Never want to hear anything about the Jesus. So miracles are good. And I don't have any problem with miracles. But we need Jesus. We need the master. We need someone who can present Jesus to us. Like, just like this time when he went and he visited Martha and he started to talk about the kingdom, about the mysteries of the kingdom, about God, about heaven, about the second coming, about the resurrection, about the mysteries that we can't get in schools.
Amen.
This was a divine appointment. A divine appointment. Where this house received the presence of God. I want to take you to somebody else. Maybe I don't have time to read there, but if you go and read in the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 13, you're going to find these two guys. These two guys, they were among the disciples, and they were going back home after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they were walking back to their village, but they were walking, doing nothing but complaining, being disappointed, and no hope and no future. They are going home. And the Bible says that Jesus came and walked with them and asked them what they were talking about. And they started telling him all about the story of the death of Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus. They talk about Jesus dead, and yet he's the one walking with them. And they told him how the bad people killed him, and yes, the leaders, they killed him, the master. We thought that he was going to be our redeemer. And they told him all the stories, and he was patient enough to listen all the details. But I want what he told them afterwards. He said Maybe it may not be good in your language. I don't know your English, but in our language, it is very, very abusive. So he wondered, and the Bible says, and he started to talk to them about how Jesus was. Deserved to die and be crucified on the cross. And he explained right from the beginning, the book of Genesis, in the Psalms and prophecy, confirming that it was worthy for Jesus to die on the cross. The next verse says that he was trying to leave them, to go his way. That is the word I wanted to bring today, in addition to what I'm talking today. And the Bible says that they compelled him. They begged him. They asked him to go with him in their home. And Jesus accepted to go in their home. I don't know much about here, but I always get confused in Uganda, whereby people coming to church, and after church, you don't hear them speak anything about God, not even about the message. They just go and eat in the restaurant and watch soccer until next Sunday. They come and they hear, and they think that they have to meet God or to have the presence of God in church buildings. But what I believe myself, we come to church to be fired up and go out and burn the fields of the Philistines. What we hear from here, we take it with us and accommodate it and meditate upon it and pray, so that the presence of God, the fire, I came here when Brother Craig was singing, "Let the fire burn. The fire may remain in our spirit, in our hearts." God always wants people who ask him to go with him. In fact, this day, when Martha and Mary received Jesus in their home, I think it was the Passover. It was the days of killing animals and what. Jesus never went to that party because it was just a ceremony. It was just occasion. He went to these people who could celebrate him. No matter whether there are three, he's going to go and meet those three who are going to celebrate him, who are going to receive him, who are going to sit and listen from him, rather than just ceremonial occasions and things people they do, the religious people do outside there. Same with these two guys. Though they were complaining, though they are disappointed, but they wanted this guy to go with them in their home. And when Jesus reached there, you know what happened? When he broke the bread, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And they immediately they saw him and they knew him. And when they saw him and they know him, they never complained again. And they never even continued to stay there in the village. But they went where Jesus told them to go, to meet them. They ran to go back and meet their fellow disciples and they tell them how they got that divine visitation, that they saw him, they communed with him, and they ate with him, and they saw him with their eyes. Believe me or not, these people were never the same again. I believe they were true witnesses of God and the gospel which was preached. The presence of God. If you don't have or accommodate or host the presence of God, believe me or not, you are going to complain. And God never told us to complain. He told us to pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, listen, obey. If we talk about chaos and things going on in this world, someone is going to grow old complaining. Because every day there is something that will make you complain. I had one of our sister or distress this morning. That can make you to complain. Your wife can make you complain every day. And the wives can complain over their husbands every day. What about children? What about parents complaining over their children? They don't do what they want to do. They tell them to do. What about the leaders? Or the citizens? They complain over the leaders. The leaders. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where they told us to complain. We can complain when we go on the other dark side of humanity. But when we are with Jesus, we are going to do what he taught us to do. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the leaders. Prayer is very necessary. Idi Amin was one of the brutal guy. Someone who could kill you anytime with no reason. Can you imagine someone to make that guy to be a leader of the country? But thank God, the church prayed for Idi Amin. We prayed for God to help us. And God did it. And ever since that time, Uganda, prayer, praising and worship is our way of living. We know for sure that God answers prayer. And there is power in the place of prayer. When we join your hands and pray, things happen. The 31st of December and the first day of the year in January. Those are our national day of prayer and fasting. And what we always do in Uganda, we always repent of what we have done in the past year and ask God to forgive us. And then the next phase is to dedicate the country, the future of the country, in the hands of God. Ever since we started that, I'm seeing how God is changing my country. That day, everywhere you go, in each district and villages, in soccer fields and stadiums, you are going to see thousands of people. And when you hear the sound of praise and the cry of the people, Pastor, this morning you read a scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn away from their sins and seek my face, I'll answer. I'll listen and hearken to them and come down and heal their nation. Brothers, God is healing Uganda. And we see so many changes. And the works of the enemy is eliminated. And the banner of salvation is lifted high and high and high. Uganda is resurrecting from the dead, because people, they have really set their hearts to seek and to cry to God for our rescue. The presence of God is vital. The presence of God can be with some individual lives. But not only that, the presence of God in the home, the presence of God in the country. One time I was going to Phoenix, Arizona in the bus, and I passed somewhere called El Paso, where you can see the other side, the other side of the border. I saw that country. It's just on the border. I saw people doing what people are doing in Africa, pushing cars to start them. Old cars and small houses, and this side of the country, you see life. God can visit a country. No matter whether you are bordering with other country, the presence of God can go just around that country. The presence of God. I remember what Moses said when he was called to go and face Pharaoh. He said, if your presence does not go with me, I won't go. Blessed are those who don't just go. If you don't go with God, if the presence of God doesn't go with you, you are going just to make tour. And God never told believers just to tour the world. But he sent us into the world to preach the gospel, to take the light, to walk with the torch, to make a difference in our life, in our time, to make sure there is something. Where God is, believe me or not, there are going to be changes for better. Where the presence of God is, there is liberty, there is peace, and there are going to be things to change for better. Because that is the work of God. He changes things. He commands darkness to go and the lights come. And he commands the water to separate from the land. He changes things. That's what we need. And that is the results of the presence of God. God is not in habit, or the presence of God is not just for us to enjoy ourselves. I'm going to tell you the other side. In fact, when you have the presence of God with you, you are going to see trouble. You are going to see sufferings. You are going to see the enemy encounter, trying to rage. But I thank God, when the enemy comes up with a storm, the presence of God, our God, raise up the standard of his spirit. and ends up everything on positive. Someone asked me one time, that tell me I want to come to Africa. Are there some wild animals everywhere? Snakes and mosquitoes and bad water. And he was saying, I just laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And I said, he was a woman of God. I said, Mom, are you sent by God? Or you want to come?
Yeah, right.
No, what I want to know before I come, I just want to know whether they are animals, whether they are snakes or mosquitoes. And I said, Mom, is that what determines you to come or not? Oh, yeah, you know, you can't just risk. You can't just risk. I said, I think, Mom, you count it wrong. When God sends you, He's going to take care of business. He's going to protect you. He's going to guide you. And I started from there to tell her about the first missionaries to Africa. They came by ship. They took months sailing on the oceans. They came to countries where there is no interpretations. They had no cell phones. There was no aeroplane. There was no emails to communicate now and then. But God told them to go. They prayed, listened, and they obeyed. That's why now the gospel is going all over the world. Because of those poor people. When God says go, they were ready to go and let God do His work. And God did it. In our time, just 13 hours, you are in Ethiopia, and another 2 hours, you are in Uganda. That is about 15 hours. People, they complain so much that is a long, tiresome journey. But I tell you what, the missionaries, they took months because they had the presence of God. They had the conviction in their spirit. They were burning inside, out. They wanted to bring or to testify or to bring God and to take God's presence where God told them to go. Prayer, listening, and obey. God confirmed Joshua that as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And when I read the scripture, I see somewhere where Joshua asked somebody, are you on our side or you are from the opposite side? If you are on opposite side, you are dead. He was confidently facing the situation and circumstances because God promised him that I'm going to be with you and my presence is going to be with you. The church, it's time to wake up from sleep, from fear. I know the purpose of terrorism is not only to destroy buildings and aeroplanes, but to cause fear in the hearts of the missionaries and people who are taking the gospel around the globe. But I believe, I'm here to tell you, the remnants of God, they are not going to tolerate that. They are going to go where God tells them to go. When you guys started to come to Africa, do you know what came in my heart? I said, Lord, I tried so many times to hesitate to go to the islands to meet my brothers across the lake and on those many islands and interior areas. I used even to think that maybe it's not the good place to pray. I used to pray, God, take me to Europe or send me to Australia. But I've never prayed of going to interior areas. But if these people, they leave their beautiful country and they come in Africa, how much more am I supposed to go and reach my brothers and sisters over the lands, on the islands? Ever since I changed that mind, churches are starting everywhere. Let me give you this testimony. I think I don't know whether I gave you this testimony. One time, we went to this island. I read a group of 25 people. And we preached. And many people were getting saved. And upstanding miracles were taking place to an island called the Sese Island. And the first time, the religious people in that area, they made a meeting and they discussed how they could stop the gospel campaign, which we are doing, because they realized that they were losing people. And one of our brother on that island discovered what was going on, and he came and said, "You guys, you have to leave this island immediately, because the religious leaders, they are planning not only to stop the gospel, but to kill the preacher." Do you know the preacher they wanted to kill? This was Joel. And everybody was scared and wanted to pack and leave. And I said, "Wait a minute. We prayed and God confirmed that he's going to be with us. And even if we can see the results of how he's touching people, he's saving people, and drawing many unto himself. Can we just run away like cowards? Why don't we go back and consult the master? Not just hear the words of people. Why don't we talk to God and see?" Everybody bought idea and went to the closet. In Uganda, what we call the closet is a place where you hide and pray. So we went and we prayed for almost 2 hours. And I could sense the peace in my spirit, peace of mind. And I told the guys that, "You know what? I think there's nothing wrong going to happen, because I feel the peace of God. Let us go ahead and preach the gospel and God will take care of the rest." And they said, "Pastor, you want us to die here?" "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Okay, let us do it like this. Go on the platform and sing one or two songs, because that's how we use sound equipment and sing, and that's how we attract people to come in the crusade. And after singing that song, just give me that microphone, and you run and hide yourself, and I will preach Christ crucified." Oh, they said, "That is easy." So they did accordingly, and they gave me the microphone, and I started preaching. People were coming from everywhere. And after like 35 minutes, I realized a danger, because one guy was coming from left, another one from the right side, and they were having pistols. That is unusual. In Uganda, if you see that, that means danger, because we are not allowed to have guns. If they find you with a gun, 7 years in prison. So I said, "Lord, if it is time to go home, I'm ready. You take care of my family. You take care of the rest. But I can't stop preaching Jesus crucified on this island, because I know he is the answer to this island. Not religions, not cultural gods, but Jesus crucified, died, buried, and rose from the dead is the answer in our country." So I preached. I saw these people standing still, doing nothing at a distance, and I went on preaching. Then after that, I made an altar call, commanded people to repent and accept Christ. So, you know, the first people who came running to give their life to Christ, the people were sent to kill me. They came and they laid their pistols on the platform, repented in tears, and accepted Christ. And they were even competing us if we are ready to sue these people in the court. They said they are ready to testify. We said, "No, our God has intervened. Just grieve on what you have received." I tell you what, those two guys, They have gone from one island to another island, from one other island to other island, preaching the gospel without fear, testifying of how God intervened and stopped them and changed their life forever. So they are doing an incredible work that I can't even do. Suppose I was just running away. The gospel is the power of God. Not only to those who are listening, but also to us who are used by God. You want to see God? Learn to host the presence of God. In prayer, leading of his word, I heard the pastor was announcing the Bible studies and Bible classes and what. That's one of the ways we accommodate his presence, to keep his word in our hearts, to keep our eyes in the Bible, to pray without ceasing. I believe that we don't pray because we have problems. In Africa, we are trying to encourage, to discourage that. People, they come in prayers because they have problems. They want to be healed. They are facing problems in economics. They have different problems. That's why they want to come for prayers. I tell you, I always tell them that, you know what? It is there is more than that. It is not bad, but God always invites us in his presence. He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to direct us. He wants us to keep our eyes in the scripture. It is a very exciting thing when the pastor reads the scripture here, and it's the very scripture that you read in the morning when you wake up in the morning. So you feel inspired that out of two witnesses, let every word be established. We keep our eyes in the Bible. We pray for our people. If there is anybody you can pray for Joel. If you don't have anybody, you can pray for, just remember to pray for Joel Bukenya. I covet your prayers because we are standing in the midst of life and of light and the darkness. Taking that number of kids, taking care of that number of kids, it's a big work where you need somebody to pray for you. This time, God has told us to take this ministry of the champions to another level of getting children from all over the country, from each district. We have 125 districts in the country. So we have decided to bring not less than between two and five kids from each district. And God is telling us to disciple those people, to love them, to educate them. In other words, we are discipling the whole country, because within the next 10 years, 12, 15 years, Jesus will have disciples everywhere in the country. Not only that, all the civil wars you hear in Africa, more especially in my country, Uganda, they are caused by tribalism. In Uganda, we have 52 tribes, I think, and each tribe with their culture and their language. But we are Ugandans, but we have been fighting now and then. We have been fighting and hating each other and causing problems because of different tribes. But with these kids, we are seeing that we are putting the war of tribalism. People growing together and love one another and have friends all over the country. Instead of hating each other, they will be joining hands to advance the kingdom. I said, God, don't take me home, not until I see multitudes and number of kids, a number of champions traveling around the country and outside the country with the torch in their hands, the content for their faith to preach the gospel in their time. I think you see how I need your prayers. But to have that, you have to have plans and strategies. Now, the plan, briefly, the plan is like this. Buildings, more food, more kids. You have to have where to put them. And you have to have food on the table before you bring them. So we thank God we have done with a very big building now. God has been good to us. We have a very big building which will help us to cater for 700 kids. And we are growing food. We have been using the prisoners to dig for us. Hoeing. But last year, the end of last year, I went and I spent a day where they were working for us. And I left that place crying. And I said, Lord, this team no more. Because when you see how they use them, beating them from morning, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., working without stopping, beating them, using them even more than animals. I said, Lord, yes, we have food, but we shall not have food to the expense of someone's life. That system no more. Now we are believing God and raising funds for the tractor. We need a tractor because the more children, the more food you need. God has blessed us with some good acres of lands, and some of those acres, this church provided the funds for us to buy the land, and we need more. But we need prayers. And most of all, pray that we may be directed with God. We have many needs, but it's always exciting to see how God intervenes and solve one need after the other, meeting one need after the other. If you are going to take care of that number of kids, you need God's presence. You need to pray. You need to listen. And you need to obey. So, brothers and sisters, let us be Mary's character, Mary's example, not Martha. If we take the Martha's example, we are going to work hard, get tired, complaining, going nowhere. But if we redeem time and listen and obey, we are going to see the fruits of our labor. There is two ways you can define serving God. You can work for God, or you can work with God. If you work for God, I tell you what, you are going to be tired and disappointed. But if you work with God, you are going to be just a witness of what God is doing. And God is not just looking for people to work for him. No. Let the government employ people. Let others employ. But God is looking for somebody who is going to be a witness. I think last year I gave you this story, and I want to wind up with that. The story of an elephant and a chameleon. One time, we got this story when we were still young, but when I started preaching, it came back in my mind. That one time an elephant, a huge one, big, was crossing the bridge, a metal kind of bridge. And there was a chameleon on the side close to this bridge. And when the elephant saw the chameleon, he said, Mr. Chameleon, what are you doing? Let us cross the bridge. The chameleon wanted to come, and he said, no, wait. You have to turn your color and just look like me. Telling a chameleon to change color, that's a song. Just in a twinkling of an eye, he changed his color and jumped on the tail of the elephant, and there they started to cross. the bridge. And when they were crossing the bridge was shaking from one side to another. Woo, 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 because of the weight of the elephant. And it seemed as if it was going to break. And the chameleon was very scared. And he looked down, if it breaks, oh boy, they were gone. He cried, but he continued to cleave and get tight on the elephant. Ooh, 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 ooh. Until they crossed over the bridge. You know what happened? After crossing the bridge, the elephant never said anything. But the chameleon went everywhere around saying that, me and an elephant, we have shaken the bridge. Isn't that true that we are witnesses of what God is doing? We just crave on him daily in prayer. We just crave on him in reading the scriptures and obey. And they just say, my brother, let us take a ride. Sometimes some kind of ride is very scary. Sometimes you get scared. There are times when we think that are we going to get over this year with this number of kids? There was a time when I said, God, no more kids. That's when we had only 100 kids. No more kids, Lord. From today, no more kids. I've closed the door. And here the lady came with her daughter. Her husband had died like 3 years ago. And said, Pastor Joel, God told me to bring this kid to you, and you are the father. I'm the father? God told you? She was not a believer. Then I said, okay, we can let the kids go in class and study, but she will not be listed as or among the champions. I said, okay, I don't mind. She went back home. After 4 days, she died, passed away. And we have been having similar kind of situations where you can't help it until we have this number of kids, until finally we realized that we are not just doing the work for God, but God himself is doing his work. Let us get hold of him, and even let the champion get hold of him, and we take a ride and let him be God. Be God. I wind up by thanking you, Pastor Jim, for coming to Uganda. You said that this might be your last time. Okay. But don't be surprised to be like the time I said, no more children. But most of I sent you to travel with a team where there is no Moses, there is Joshua. Where there is no Elisha, there is Elijah. Mm-hmm. Where there is no Jesus, they are disciples. We are not yet done with you people. I believe that many are coming. If Sadi and Abigail, that generation made it to Uganda, I believe that many others are coming. It's just a matter of praying, listening, and obey. Let's pray. Mighty God, our loving Father, you are an awesome God. Thank you for being what you are. And thank you for loving us when we are yet sinners, Lord. And you paid a price so that you may make us what we are. We are no longer strangers and heathens, but we are children of thy family and a fellow heir with Jesus Christ in thy kingdom. Lord, I want to thank you so much for my brothers here and sisters who are coming to Uganda and who have been coming to Uganda, young ones and old ones, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, and I thank you for those who are standing for the cause of the mission trip. Because I know, Lord, that three things must happen. Someone must pray. and someone must contribute some funds, and someone must go. We combine all the three and we do the mission and do missions, Father. Lord, I pray for those who are behind in praying. I pray for those who are sponsoring the trip. And I pray for those who are putting on their socks to cross over the ocean and Sahara, desert, and come to Africa. Lord, I pray that your angel may come with them and the anointing, your presence, Lord. And guide the organizing committee, the people who are running up and down, Lord, to put things together so that together, when we join our faith, Lord, much may be achieved in thy kingdom. Bless this fellowship, this church, the younger ones and old. And I thank you, Lord, for the divine connection you made for us to meet for the purposes of the kingdom. I pray for their needs. I pray for their families, Father. Lord, let the presence not reside in this building only, but Lord, I pray that you be in their homes, Father. Be in their homes, Lord. Grow up their offsprings, Lord, in the fear of the Lord. Keep them from falling, Lord, and keep them on board. Help them, my Father, to imitate you and to follow the footsteps of Jesus so that they may understand the meaning of living. Because I know, Father, that we are not here to eat and enjoy the conveniences of the world only and die tomorrow. But most of all, Lord, we are here for the purposes of the kingdom. Father, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for America. And I know for sure that you have a good plan. Though we may say this and that, but Lord, I believe that you have not given up America. You have not given up. I pray for all the remnants in each and every state of this country. And Lord, I know that those are the enemy rages. You are there to lift up the standard of your spirit so that those who are called by God will not hesitate to do your will and to do your commandment. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I give you all the praises and glory and honor by the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you so much.